Let's read together Genesis 1, verse 1, the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a wonderful verse. The first verse of the Bible stands out in majestic greatness. It's like a snow-capped mountain peak, rising in majesty above the surrounding landscape. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's consider a few background notes as we begin our studies of the creation account in the book of Genesis. Moses, as you know, was the inspired author of the Pentateuch. That is, the first five books of the Bible. Now, Moses was an eyewitness for the events recorded in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But what about Genesis? All the events in Genesis, from creation right on up to the death of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter in the book, all of these events took place before the time of Moses. So how did Moses know about all these events in the book of Genesis, including creation? Now, the critics of the Bible say that Genesis was written up much later than Moses' time, and these later Hebrew writers took material from ancient pagan sources about the beginnings of the universe and the flood, and then put their own Hebrew spin on this material and added the Jewish legends about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and thus you have the book of Genesis. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We believe that the book of Genesis is real and accurate history, including the creation account. The creation account is not a Hebrew parable with symbolic language, something like that. And it's not a Hebrew poem. Hebrew poetry has a definite structure to it. And the creation account of Genesis is not Hebrew poetry. It is historical narrative just like the rest of Genesis. Now, Moses may have had some historical documents to work with when he wrote Genesis. God certainly could have revealed all of these early events to Moses. But God may have ensured that the earlier patriarchs wrote about the events during their lifetimes, maybe even as far back as Adam. We know that God gave Adam the ability to speak intelligibly right from the beginning. Remember, Adam communed with God in the garden? Why not also the ability to write? So Moses may have had some of these earlier materials to work with when he wrote Genesis under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In any case, we can be sure that all of Genesis, including the creation account, is true and accurate and historical. Now, concerning Genesis 1:1, this wonderful and majestic first verse of the Bible, part of the supernatural stamp on this verse, showing that it's the Word of God, is the numerical design found in this verse. In the Hebrew language, the verse consists of seven Hebrew words. Remember, seven is God's number of perfection. And we see a number of sevens in the design of this first verse of the Bible. Not only are there seven Hebrew words, but there are 28 Hebrew letters. That's 4 times 7. Now, the clause or predicate, in the beginning God created, consists of 14 letters, 2 times 7. And the objects, the heavens and the earth, also contain 14 letters, 2 times 7. The heavens, 7 Hebrew letters, and the earth, 7 Hebrew letters. Furthermore, in the Hebrew language, every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. Remember, the Jews did not have the Arabic system of numerals, so they used the Hebrew letters for numbers, so that you can add up the numerical value of the letters and get the numerical value of the word and words and sentences and so forth. Now, there are quite a number of design features based on the number 7 when the numerical values are taken into account. For example, The numerical value of the verb created is 203. That's 29 times 7. And the numerical value of the three nouns, God, heavens, and earth, is 777. Quite amazing, isn't it? And there are other design features based on the number 7 found in this verse. But we need to move on to our doctrinal or teaching point. Here's the doctrinal point. The Bible teaches the universe was created, but God is eternal. The universe was created, but God is eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible teaches that the universe was created, but God is eternal. But you say, where did God come from? Answer, He always was. God is eternal. But you say, I can't comprehend such a concept. Well, neither can I. But we're finite. We have finite minds. How dare we think we can fully comprehend the infinite? The question is not whether we can comprehend how God can be eternal, but whether we believe what the Bible says, that the universe was created, but God is eternal. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, to believe that God is eternal does not mean that you have to kiss your brains goodbye. To believe in an eternal God is not a blind faith. It is a reasonable faith, because your only other logical option is to believe that the universe is eternal. Did you follow that? One more time. To believe in an eternal God is not a blind faith. It's a reasonable faith, because your only other logical option is to believe in an eternal universe. If you don't believe in a God who is eternal, who created this universe, then you must believe in an eternal universe. Because a universe cannot just start out of nothing. Now, if you think a universe can create itself, then you've really kissed your brains goodbye. Right? So you either must believe in an eternal God or an eternal universe. Those are your only two logical options. Now, both of those options require faith. And you must believe one of them. The human mind demands it. But now I ask you, which is based on the more reasonable faith? I'm resting my case on the first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1 teaches that the universe was created, but God is eternal. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The universe was created, but God is eternal. You know, I remember not too long ago looking at Ted Koppel's Nightline, and on there were a couple of scientists, and they were talking about the Big Bang Theory. And then the talk show host, Ted Koppel, had the guts to say, but where did the stuff, the thimbleful, the micro dot of mass energy come from that started all this? And I'll never forget one of these scientists. You know, he said, well, we're working on that one now. We're working on that question. Come on. I mean, you see, a person that doesn't want to believe in God, you know, they'll come up with something. They know they have to go with the eternal universe, because you can't get a universe out of nothing. They're just kidding themselves to think that everything started with a Big Bang out of nothing. At least Ted Koppel had the guts to ask the obvious question. You see the logical options you have. You have to either believe in an eternal God or an eternal universe. Now, did you know that it's also more scientific to believe that the universe was created and not eternal? The second law of thermodynamics, you've heard of that? Second law of thermodynamics, which is a proven scientific law in nature, indicates that the universe is running down and becoming more disordered as time goes on. In other words, there was a time when the universe was wound up with no disorder. The second law of thermodynamics indicates that the universe is not eternal. It had a beginning. In fact, along with the first law of thermodynamics, it points toward creation. Now, the first law of thermodynamics states that matter or energy is not being created at the present time. It's only changing in form. Matter or energy is not being created now. It's only changing in form. So the first and second laws of thermodynamics, solid scientific laws, strongly indicate that the universe did have a beginning and it didn't begin itself. It was created. Now that's solid science. So again, you're not kissing your brains goodbye to believe in an eternal God. It's the more reasonable option. And it's the more scientific option as well. The word used for create in Genesis 1:1 is the Hebrew word bara. It is only used in the Bible for God's activity. It is never used for man's activity. And so it is emphasizing that God brought this universe to be ex nihilo. That is, out of nothing. This word create, bara, only used for God's activity, not for man's activity, it emphasizes that God brought this universe into existence ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing. As Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 says, God calls into being that which does not exist. Romans 4:17. The Bible teaches that the universe was created, but God is eternal. Practical application for this first verse of the Bible. Are your priorities in line with the first verse of the Bible? Are your priorities in line with the first verse of the Bible? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Does God come first in your life? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't believe in God. Listen, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. I trust you're not in that category. But maybe you're here this morning and you believe in God, but he is not number one in your life. Listen, if you want to have a meaningful life and a joyful life, we all want that, right? Then get your priorities in line with the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God. Do you know God? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Are you serving the Lord? Are your priorities in line with the first verse of the Bible?